about the morning. The morning is when the light comes in. And that's how it's described when we go to heaven, that it's like morning breaking. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because it says that when we make it to heaven, that the sun's not going to be what lights it, but it's going to be the Son of God, the light of this world. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to be taking some scripture out of the Gospel according to John. I want to minister for a little while this morning on light and its importance. That a lot of times people can respond different ways to the light. And I don't know how true it is. I've always heard it said that people with blue eyes or somewhere similar to that color, their eyes are more sensitive to the light. And growing up and even now, I'd say that's probably pretty true, because we can walk out into the bright sunlight from the house or something, and I'm one of the first ones that, I'll go to sneezing just from it being so bright, or whenever a light first gets turned on in the morning, it hurts my eyes. But one thing that I think about when I think about the importance of light, when I was in, I guess I was maybe in the second grade, I got to go on a trip with program at school there to go to Carter Caves. And we went to Carter Caves, and now being a kid that was terrified of the darkness, that I was probably 13 or 14 before I really kicked the fear of darkness very well and everything, that we went there, and one of the things they said is, we're going to show you what it really means to be in darkness. We were down in one of those caves, and I can't remember which, but I remember that one of the things that they told us, they said, bring a flashlight. And so I had a little cheap dollar store flashlight, that Mom had gotten for me, and I brought with me there. And I remember that as we were standing there, they said, now everybody stand still, don't start moving around or anything, so we're going to shut the lights off. And I remember, that I thought I knew what darkness was to that point, whenever that we lived just a few miles down the road from here in a little old house trailer, and we would turn the light off in the evening, and I didn't like that. I didn't like the having to get up in the middle of the night, and walk through that corridor there to the bathroom or anything. How afraid of the darkness that I was, but I thought, now I know what it means when something's dark. But they shut those lights off, and I remember that I was absolutely shocked. I might not remember anything else about that trip, but I remember how extremely dark that it was. But what occurred to me in that moment, just a little bitty fella, was I thought, now, how hard would it be to get out of here safely if there was no light? And thinking about that years later, I remember thinking how that little flashlight suddenly became more valuable to me than gold, because if they didn't turn the lights back on, that it was going to be my best hope of being able to navigate out of that darkness. And there's a darkness in this world that people are surrounded by continually, and there's only one light that's going to help people successfully navigate out of that darkness. And maybe when things are going well and things are alight in our life, that we think we don't need Jesus Christ. But I can tell you that I need Him in the sunlight and the noonday sun, just like I do at midnight when the clouds are over the moon and you can't see your hand in front of your face, that Jesus Christ is the light come into this world. And it was that John said in the opening of this book that He was the light in the life of men. And then Jesus here, in talking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, one of the things that He begins to talk about is light. We'll start reading at verse 16 in John chapter 3. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." The problem with this world is those that don't believe on Him, they're already condemned. That the problem is that the only way to be saved from the calamity and the destruction that sin deserves is through Christ Jesus. You'll notice that if you were to turn back into the book of Genesis there and you were to read about Noah, you would find that everybody went through the flood. Even Noah did. But Noah had an ark of safety that he made it all the way through without suffering the loss of his life and the loss of his wife and his sons and their wives. That when he entered into that ark, that he was most assuredly the minority. When he came out, he was the majority. And it was that he was only able to make it through because that he believed on the word of God. Now the condemnation, it goes on in verse 18, it says, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God." Now those people that lived right alongside of Noah all those years that he was driving nails and a packing boards and a building an ark, they were already condemned. They just didn't know it. The reason that Noah wasn't condemned was because that he believed on the word of Almighty God, so much so that he drove some nails because of it. It's very interesting that salvation is so often secured by the driving of nails, isn't it? Noah drove nails in the ark and secured salvation, and man drove nails in the Son of God, and our salvation was secured. And it is now that if people don't believe on the Word of God, that salvation is going to be apart from them. And then all that they've got is condemnation. Now the Lord was telling them, "I sent my Son that they would be saved." He's not there to condemn. He's not there to pass judgment on them, because they're already condemned. They don't need anything in that avenue. What they need is salvation. And Christian, I challenge you that when you encounter the world and you encounter lost people, they don't need your condemnation. What they need is the Word of God, and they need the Son of God to save them from that condemnation. Because they're already condemned. And here's a little secret that I've learned over the years. Most people that are condemned, they already know that they're condemned. But there's a better way. But notice it goes on. It says, verse 19, what is the condemnation? It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know, ignorance is bliss. We say that all the time, and to some degree I would agree with that, because, you know, it's often, you know, if I don't know about it, I don't have to worry about it. That's bliss. And the Bible encourages us to not worry about things that are outside of our control. It doesn't say to not worry. Jesus said that sufficient are the worries of today. He says worry about the things that you need to worry about today, and when tomorrow rolls around, you can worry about those when they get here if you live that long. But you see, a lot of times what happens is that people prefer darkness because it is that, at least if they don't know it's there, it can't be harmful to them. Or so they think. But now let's play this out logically. How much sense does it make to you to turn the lights off in a room and go walking through it and say, "Now, because that I can't see that table that I'm going to whack my shin on, it can't hurt me"? I can assure you I've tested that theory by accident, and it just doesn't hold water. But a lot of people will go around and they'll say, if I don't know that the things that I'm doing are wrong, then I can't be held accountable for it. Yes, you can. It is ingrained into nature itself. A law, as Paul talked about, there were people that stumbled across a law that was natural, but it was a law unto them. You may say, "Well, Brother Jeremiah, you mean to tell me that people had stumbled across some of the law of God?" Oh yes, most assuredly. Very few cultures throughout the history of mankind has ever looked favorably on adultery. That is not owned solely by Christianity. But it is stated explicitly that if you are a Christian, you are not to be an adulterer. That if you're to be a Christian, you're not to be a liar. Lying has always been frowned upon in any culture that you look at. So you see, a lot of times people say, "Well, if I don't know about it, it can't hurt me." Well, no, that's not entirely correct. Sometimes it's the things that you don't know about that are going to be the most harmful to you. I watched a documentary a while back. Had Chuck Yeager on and a few other World War II pilots. They were men, they called them aces, because they'd shot down 5 or more enemy planes. And they told them, they said that it's always the plane that you don't see that shoots you down. The one that they were ignorant of. They said the thing that you learned how to do was to always be looking around and watching and being careful. And every one of the pilots, they said the time that they hated to have to go out and fly the most was nighttime, because they couldn't see what was around them. And you think about, which would you rather do? Would you rather go for a nice pleasant walk at midnight when it's dark, and you might creel your ankle or step in a hole or something like that? People don't prefer darkness. And actually, I'll be honest with you. I walked home last night from my cousin's house at about 11 o'clock. And it was dark and cloudy and overcast. And it was just kind of a little bit creepy walking home. Not because of the darkness itself, but because I couldn't see hardly where it was that I was going. We live up in a holler, and you know, I've heard that they've turned loose coyotes and things like that. I would prefer to be able to see one coming rather than just pretend that it's not there. If that theory worked really well, then when you were getting ready to get into a car accident, all you'd have to do is put your hand over your eyes and everything would be okay. That's pretty absurd to do. Some people may do that, but it still doesn't pan out for them. But the condemnation of this world is that the light come to them, and their response was, shut that light off. I don't want that. It's showing that my deeds are evil. If you ever try to witness to somebody, you'll find that whenever you do that, a lot of times they'll be saying things like, I'm just not ready for that. Or, I don't want to be bothered with that. You know, when death finds a person, they don't want to be bothered with that either. But they have precious little choice whenever it is that their life comes down to an end. You know that man all the time asserts that he's self-determined and self-created. And I had a revelation. The Lord revealed something to me the other day about evolution and declaring that there is no God. You know, what's so appealing to people about that is that with evolution, guess who is the pinnacle of creation and evolution, at least from the scientist standpoint? Mankind. We're the tip top. We're the top of the ladder, at the very top of the pyramid. But if there is a God, then we're not tip top, but rather we're a created being that is just barely higher than a lot of the animals around. And in some ways, we might be a little bit lower, because at least they don't know what they're doing is wrong, but we do. And you see, a lot of times now, whenever it is that a person is faced with the light, they don't want to see it because they don't want to see the harsh and the ugly truths. That's why it is that bars are always so dark. Places like that. You know, when criminals work, it's not during the broad daylight. Now, some do occasionally. It's at night. So that their evil deeds are covered. But notice what it says, verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I've told my kids as they've grown up, don't ask a question that you might not like the answer to. I've made up my mind that I'll tell them the truth that they can handle. And I've had to tell them some truths that I'm sure that they didn't like. I had to tell them things that probably hurt their feelings. My dad did that for me. And I didn't like it at the time. But often if you find out that something's wrong, you're weak in an area, you can respond one of two ways. You can either say, well, they don't know what they're talking about, and they just need to shut up and leave me alone. Or you can say, that is 100% true, and I need to do better. And the measure of a person often is how they respond to that, the same as how they respond to the light. If the light is shined upon them and they find out that what they thought was not accurate, and they step up into the light though and say, but I'm going to do better and I'm going to be better, then I'll show you a person who loves the truth. But if they deny the light and want it shut off and don't want to see those things, I'll show you a person whose deeds ultimately are evil. And this includes pretty good people. This includes people, as we would say, you know, around here, to the pinnacle of goodness, of human goodness around here, is they would give you the shirt off of their back. Well, that's all well and good. But I find myself thinking about humanity is only so good, and before God, simply not good enough. You don't believe me? Look back. It says, that the only way that a person can be saved is to believe upon Jesus, the Son of God. In another place, Jesus told a young man who came to him and called him good master, he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that's God." You know what that means? Everything else is evil. Now here's the interesting thing about the light when it comes to the Christian. Notice there in verse 21 it says, "But he that doeth truth," not he that is filled with light, "he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." What that's saying is they come and they let God shine light on it so they can see, now am I doing the work of the Lord? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing the things that I ought to be doing? A Christian person, really, if they're where they're supposed to be, they won't just assume that they're where they're supposed to be, but they'll continually check and they'll continually look. And how do you do that? But by the light. It's so much easier to navigate in the light of day than it is in the dark of night. That I find it interesting, you know, that up there in Alaska, and I'd never really thought about it, or really up in Canada. I went to Canada in May there several years ago for David and Mel's wedding. And I remember that while I was up there, the day just seemed to just continue on and on and on. You know, around here in May with daylight saving time and all that, it starts getting dark 7:30, 8 o'clock. Up there in May, now May is still pretty early in the spring, it gets dark up there about 10 o'clock where they were at. We were pretty high in northern latitude. And I was amazed by that. You walk outside at 10 o'clock and it was like 6 o'clock here at that time. I mean, that was almost incomprehensible to me. I'd never been in an area like that. Plus, it's really flat, so the days are slightly longer too because the hills aren't blocking out the sun. And I was talking to David about that, you know, and talking about how weird that was, and David just laughed at me. Then it occurred to me, David had just flown down from Anchorage, Alaska, which is quite a bit further north than that. And he said, "Son," he said, "it's like that all the time up there now." He said, in June, he said, "it doesn't get dark outside." And I got to thinking, I thought, man, that must be really nice. It just to be daylight all the time. He said, "Yeah, but through the winter, it's dark all the time." And you think about which would you rather have? There's a trade-off and everything, but I'd rather spend time in the light as I would in the dark. And as a Christian, the important thing for you is, as a Christian, you know what you're supposed to be? You're supposed to be light. If you don't believe me, turn over into the book of Matthew there in chapter 5 and you'll find that Jesus points at the people that are listening to him. He said, "You're salt and you're light, and you're supposed to let your light shine." Now rather than you self-generating that light, do you know where it is that your light comes from? Well, it comes from the one who is the light. Don't believe me? Turn with me there into the Gospel of John chapter 1. It says, John chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I don't generate light in and of myself, but I shine it back out. I kind of reflect it. You know what a mirror's singular job is to do? To merely show and reflect whatever is placed before it, whatever is utmost before it. Have you ever looked at a mirror, though it's dirty? One that's set and maybe gathered a lot of dust and everything, and you look at it and you can't really see the image that the mirror is supposed to show, but all you can see is the dust? Or one that's broken, or one that's got a lot of imperfections and problems with it. What do you notice? Do you notice the reflection more, or do you notice the imperfections? You see, the Christian, and here's the thing, this word is like Windex to your Christian mirror, and you got to keep it polished up to let your light shine out into the world, because Jesus said, if you're light, then you're going to be set on a hill. You're going to be set where people can see, and whether they like it or not, you're going to shine that light out to them, and you won't be liked always for it. Remember what we just read there just a few seconds ago? That they didn't like the light because that their deeds were evil. You ever have somebody just treat you horrible and you're a Christian and all you're trying to do is good things and be good to other people and just live by the word of God and it seems like that people hate you for it?
A lot of times it's because when they look at you and they see you, they don't like what they see in themselves. Because that light is shining out and it's hurting their eyes and they don't like what it is that they see. But everybody, whenever that they work, whenever they do anything, they have to have light. Have to have it. Now, I would also assert that that light, you know where it comes from? It don't come from a light bulb. It comes from the holy fire of Almighty God. Because you know what else that John said about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said He'll baptize people with fire and with the Holy Ghost. You have that fire in you, you can't help but produce that light. You have that fire in you, people will be warmed by the love that comes out of you because of Jesus Christ. Because now here's the real kicker for the Christian. You don't have any good that you generated yourself. Nobody else does either. It only comes from the Lord. Any good that you see out of me only comes from God. It's not self-generated because I am evil and I am wicked, and without the light of the Lord in me, I'm not really much use to anybody when it comes to trying to see them saved. You think about, though, what the mirror will do if there is a light source. If you look at that mirror, you see, you ever been sitting around a room and you see a reflection on the ceiling or something like that, and you're looking, I do this all the time, you know, looking, there's a spot of sunlight on the ceiling, you know, in a way in which that, how can it even be there? Well, what I do, is I start looking around saying, now, where is that reflecting from? How is that making its way in here? And sometimes it's pretty difficult to solve that little mystery. But ultimately, I know where the ultimate source is. It's the sun shining in from outside, and it's shining in. You see that if somebody sees your light shine, that if they look at you and they see that light, hopefully at the very least they'll start trying to trace it back to its source. Because here's the thing that I never want to find myself trying to reflect somebody else's light. There are good Christian people out there, but they can't save me. There are good Christian people out there, but they are sinners saved by grace just like you and I are. That what they need is the same light that you need. The same light that this world needs. You know what's going to happen whenever it is that people reject the Lord God? It's that they're going to shut their eyes to the light that's there and to block it out. You think about the response to light that some people have. I can tell you though that a lot of people will reject the light because they don't understand. You think about now the absurdity of that. They'll say, well, I just don't understand how God can do this or why that it's like that. I've met people who literally sit around and say, well, I just can't believe because I don't understand. And essentially what they're saying is, I don't want the light because I don't know how it works. Well, I can tell you right now, I don't know exactly how electricity works, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark and wait till I do. I'll turn the light on and enjoy it just the same. And I can tell you, though, that whenever the light of the Lord Jesus Christ comes into a person's life and they look and they comprehend it, that if they look at their own deeds and they find them evil, but if they're a doer of truth, they'll step up. You don't believe me? Just turn back into the book of Isaiah there when it was now that Isaiah was preaching to the nation of Israel and he was saying, woe unto you, woe unto you. And then he gets over there and he sees the glory of the Lord come down and his train fill the temple. And you know what Isaiah says? He's not saying woe unto Israel or woe unto Syria or woe unto the Babylons. He says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, because that he sees that before God he is nothing. That's what I see when I find light in my own life. That I see that I'm not generating it. You know, you may say, well, Brother Jeremiah is a good man. I hope you do. I hope you do. But that good, I've not made it. I've only received it from Almighty God. I'm just trying to do that work of a good and a faithful servant so that whenever that I get done with this life, that I'm going to go and be in the true light to be able to bask in the glow of the Son of the Most High. And He'll be able to look at me and say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. And I'll be able to receive a reward, because the darkness that runs around in this world, a lot of people may say, I'm used to the dark. I can deal with it. I'd rather step into the light than to live in the darkness and to live without comprehension. You know, the Bible encourages us to understand too.
A lot of people would say, oh, if you believe in God and you believe in, as they say, intelligent design, which is just a fancy way of saying that our world and everything therein was created by Almighty God, that you're just ignorant and you have no understanding. And people believe that because that somebody's a Christian that they have no understanding. And yet in this very book right here, he told through his prophet Jeremiah, he said, be thou understanding, not just as a horse that's led by a bridle and a bit in his mouth, but be understanding and know why it is what you're doing. I've had people say, oh, you ought not ask questions like that and just go on. I've never asked a question to the Lord that He hasn't blessed me with an answer for. It may have taken a while. When I've lacked understanding, He'll give me understanding. He'll give me everything that I need. And what I get when I get that understanding, just a little bit more light. I can see just a little bit better. You know, and sometimes when I've read this word and I've sat down and I've read things, I found out, you know what? I've messed up. I'm not doing something right. Now, there are two ways to react to that. I could fold my Bible up and say, well, I guess that's it. I ain't good enough. I am simply just not able to live up to this. That's what stops a lot of people too. Did you know that? Often lost people, whenever it is that they begin seeking the Lord, you know what they try to do? They try to clean themselves up, straighten up, and fly right. My word shows me that a person comes to the Lord and He'll clean them up. He'll give them everything that they need. When a person steps into the light, they may not like what they see. But do you have any idea what my God can do in one day? You think about the things that He did. You know how long it took Him to make essentially everything? It just took Him 6 days. Imagine what He can do with you in just one day. The difference that a day can make, it's another sermon for another time, but you think about Joseph. Joseph spent 17 years in prison, in darkness. When he stepped out into the light, what a shabby shape he must have been in. I guarantee you that his clothes weren't clean. His face wasn't shaved, his hands weren't washed or anything. He'd been living in a prison, in a dungeon. It may conjure images from a movie that you've seen, but I doubt it really does it any justice. But dungeons are dark. But in one day's time, he was taken out of that dungeon and he was in the king's court and he was cleaned up and he was standing there and he was advising the king, and the king took and said, well, who better to use than this man, Joseph? When he stepped into the light, though he was in the darkness in that dungeon, he had the light of the Lord in his life. He was able to see and he was able to still continue on. When everybody else would have quit on it, he kept that light. And then when he stepped into the light of this world, God blessed him and God blessed this world because of him. That if you want to be a blessing to others, you better step into the light. If you want to help somebody improve, you better help them step into the light. And you may come to those that just simply say, I don't want the light. I don't like the light. It's too bright and it hurts my eyes. At some point you may have to look at them and maybe read them those scriptures that I just read you just a few moments ago. Tell them, look, if you don't come to the light, then you're going to spend a time in eternal darkness. I believe it was John Milton in his work, Paradise Lost. He was the first person to ever set forth that maybe it's dark in hell. Everybody always imagined it would be bright in hell because that there's fire there. There's fire and there's brimstone. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You think how discomforting it is. When you're out in the darkness, you can hear things, but you can't see them. I was walking home, and Brother Larry probably knows better than most anybody else here. I was walking home from my Uncle Romy's house down toward our house, and there's a stretch of the road there where the trees just hang over the road there. It's dark. It's dark even when there's a full moon out. And I was walking along, and this was when I was about 12, so I was still pretty afraid of the dark then. I was walking along, trying to just concentrate. Now, you're straining because there was a pole light just a little ways out there. I wanted to get back into the light to where I could see good. And I was walking through that area. And I remember walking along, and
that, you know, I was just straining to hear anything that I could hear and trying to concentrate on keeping my footing and everything. Then all of a sudden I heard a rustling of leaves off to the side. Now one side's a hillside and the other side's a creek. Just a big drop off into the creek. And I remember when I heard those leaves begin to rustle, it was on the side next to the creek. Well, I was up on the hillside before I even knew what was going on. I had no idea what that it was because I couldn't see it. But it was very disconcerting to have something rustling around in the leaves, and it didn't sound like a person or a human being of any kind do that. I don't know if it was a snake or a beaver or whatever that it was. But I can tell you that, I mean, it might have been the most harmful of things, but now it really scared me. Scared me about as bad as I'd ever been scared. All the previous times, I'd never had any kind of a close call or anything like that. But you think about spending time in eternal darkness. How disconcerting that would be. Spending time in a place where there is no light. And I further think that John Milton wasn't far off base, and this is just Brother Jeremiah's opinion, but I don't think there's going to be any light in hell because the light's going to be the Son of God. And he's not going to be there. He's going to be in heaven, lighting that place. Now, people often, they may say, I prefer the darkness. And they may stand before God, and God would say, well, you said you preferred the darkness. There it is. You can have it then. I prefer the light. I prefer the Son of the One that can save me from my sins rather than holding to the darkness which will condemn me. All it can ever do is condemn me. Let's everybody stand and get a song.